Hang on. Still going. Trying to get something going on the long side. It looked like maybe right here, but the ribbon got kind of crunched up right there, so probably wouldn't have done that. Right here. Long right in there. And right here. That's it. So it looks like it's trying to set up a short right here, but it's still all crunched up. The ribbon is, so don't really have anything in there. Okay. Now the ES this morning on the 4-tick range. Looks like we started out with six ticks there. Then we had a good trade here, got us up to 22, so that was 16 ticks there. Then we had another big trade that got us from 22 to 37, so 15 tick trade there. Then we stopped out from 37 to 29 somewhere. This is during the moment in time here, I think. It's coming up here somewhere. Anyway, we stopped out there. Oh, here it is. All right, we stopped out there. That brought us down to 37. Then we had a break even. This was the moment in time on the ES. I didn't really know what it was going to do either because we had bullish separation. And we had just stopped out of this trade right here. It would have been a stop out trade if we had taken it. We'd have just stopped out. So I didn't really know what it was going to do. So this was all during the moment in time, all the way through here. Okay. And our next trade was over here. We went from 37 to 29 when we stopped out in that last one. We went from 29 back to 37 here. And a break even right there. So we ended up with 37 on the ES as well. Now during the break, just highest probability trades, it was one right here. This one was okay to take because the entry was above the MA1, so you didn't have to worry about the dynamic support right there. Okay, like this one over here, you would have had to worry about it, the resistance, because the entry was above. But in this one right here, for the short, it was okay. But just the highest probability trades, it was one. Two? Nope, sorry, that's not one. Just one, really. There were some other trades in there, but not the highest probability trades. All right, so in here, let's get this set up. Back here to the beginning of time in the crude. I'm just going to go over the ones that were the right color off the BBC. Okay, in the crude this morning. From the open. Right in here. Looks like there was one. Right here. Looks like there was one. Right here, right there, and there. I actually took this one in the room this morning, and I think I got 15 ticks on that. Then it got all choppy in here. You see how the ribbon was all messed up, so you couldn't do anything through there. This got into the moment in time here. And I didn't know what the ES was going to do either. This is the range I thought it was going to trade in, was right here. And it pretty much stayed in that range until it got out of it. And then as far as trades off the BBC using the ribbon, we didn't get another one until right over here. There was one right here. This is one that if you had just stopped at 10 ticks, you just made it. Still looking through here. Right here was one, right here was one, in opposite directions. That was during the break. Okay, now those don't look like much, but they really are. You know, like this one right here, the entry point would have been 71.50, and it ran up to 74.50, so it was 3 points right there. This one, the entry point would have been 70, and it dropped all the way down to 65.5, so 4.5 points right there. So 7 points between those two trades within 10 minutes. That's pretty good money if you can do it with a bunch of contracts. All right. Well, that is what it looks like this morning. Okay. Let's get back here to the spreadsheet. If you're going to read the spreadsheet, you got to read all the CFTC risk disclosures down at the bottom. Today is the 5th day of July, 2022. We made 37 ticks in crude, 19 ticks in gold, and 37 ticks on the ES. Put us at 1,022 on the morning session. Today it took 6 minutes and 2 trades to get to the goal for the day. At that point, we're up $110 a contract, and we took a total of 17 trades. So on the month now, we're at $2,415 a contract. So with 2 trading days, averaging $1,207 per contract per 2-hour trading day. Now gone 186 days since our last negative day, and we've gotten our goal on 125 out of 125 possible days so far this year. That puts us at $135,876, averaging $1,087 per contract per 2-hour day. Now, if you were to quit trading when you got your goal for the day and add one contract a month so far this year, you would have worked 17.83 hours, right? That's on the year, 17.83 hours. I was just saying, if we can get to the end of the year and have that number be under 40, that would be awesome. But the average hourly rate doing that, adding one contract a month, would be $3,495 per hour for those 17.8 hours. All right. Now, if you've not taken a free trial with us, go here to emetrainingschool.com. On this page, all we ask for is your first name, your email, and your phone number. You can tell us the biggest trading challenge so we can tell you one-on-one training just for you. Hit the send button, you'll be sent a confirmation link. You must click on that confirmation link, okay? If you don't click that link, we don't know that you took the free trial, so make sure you click on that link, all right? All right, guys, with that, we can pass it back out to fabulous Phoenix, Arizona. Studio Way overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Dwayne is ready.
Yes, sir. Excellent. I am ready, and thanks for that heads up on the YouTube stream. I did fix that while Michael was doing his thing. So, that's great. Teamwork. There's no I in teamwork, I heard. I looked it up in the dictionary and they were right. So, recap of the recap.
Today, it took 6 minutes and 2 trades to get to $110 a contract.
Good job. As always. All right, guys, we're going to dive right in. Let's go to the Logic 247 recap. Michael just covered everything that happened the first 2 hours of Wall Street today, 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Our live training room is for members only and those taking their 1-week free trial. Michael just showed you how to take your free trial. We're in week 205. Of Logic 247. Now, Logic 247, it's based on logic, and the alerts come out around the clock, 24/7, whenever opportunity presents itself. Even though yesterday was a holiday in the US, the rest of the world was still business as normal. And so Sunday night, concierge trade alerts went out, the Logic 247 alerts went out, and then last night at 6 p.m. Eastern, of course, that became the Tuesday session, even though it was still 4th of July here in the U.S., and probably everybody was out watching the fireworks. We took a little drive around. There was more fireworks around the city of Phoenix, and I don't mean the big public spectacles that people line up for and can't find parking. I mean, we just drove around. And somehow they can't get baby formula into the country, but they're able, because they come from China, these fireworks, man, they were just, I've never seen the home style fireworks as bright and as beautiful as they were last night. So I hope you had a chance to enjoy time with your family and friends over the holiday weekend. Since the markets opened Sunday night, even though there was a Monday holiday, we've issued a total of 28 alerts, 8 never triggered, still waiting on the outcome of 3. So we've had 17 actionable alerts, of which 3 or 18% would have been stopped out based on not risking more than $300 per contract, per trade, less when possible, using market structure, a very simple three-step process that we teach all of our traders. Now, the Logic 247 alerts. Let me show you, in case you're new, exactly how those look. Okay, so you can see here's ones we're still waiting on. We've got a short on crude, still waiting on this one. We had a short on the S&P. We had a stop out on the Dow. Those are the ones issued today. And going back to yesterday, we had a short on bonds, and we had a no trigger on the Euro, the NQ, the Dow, and the ES. And then going back to Sunday night, we had a stop out on gold, a no trigger on crude oil. We had a short on the Euro. We had a short on the Dow. We had a short on the S&P, no trigger on silver, a short on the NQ, a long no trigger on bonds. We had a short stop out on bonds. We had a long on the Euro, no trigger on gold. We had a long on crude oil. We had a long on the NQ. Long on the Russell, long on the Dow, long on the S&P E-mini. And we had one carryover, which was a long on silver. Last week, which was week 204, we had a total of 90 alerts, 21 never triggered, one carried over. We had 68 actionable alerts, of which 8 or 12% would have been stopped out based on market structure with a maximum $300 risk per trade. It doesn't matter how much the potential profit is in a trade. And the way you determine the potential profit in a trade is pretty simple. Like this long on the S&P, B means buy, T is initial target, PR is potential resistance or target number two. And then on every long trade, every long alert, whether it's a logic or concierge, if it's a long, the final trade to target is the weekly trading zone above. And on a short, it's the weekly trading zone below. Now on Sunday nights, we're still using the previous week's weekly trading zones. The weekly trading zones go out to our members every Monday morning at 6:15 a.m. Eastern, except when there's a Monday holiday here in the U.S. Seems like we've had a lot of those lately. Holidays, that is. I think we're clear till September before we have another holiday. So far, since the inception of Logic 247, 205 weeks, I believe I said it was, we have issued 11,144 individual alerts. Every single one of those, a trend trade as defined by the 30-minute chart, price, and the BBC, which is the green line you'll see on the charts here in a moment when we go to the charts. Now, last night's concierge trade alerts, which was our original alert service, those got out last night at 7:20 p.m. Eastern. We strive to get them out shortly after the Globex open each evening. Now, you probably don't trade all of these markets. If you're new, you shouldn't try to trade all of these markets. But we cover the S&P, the Dow, the Russell, crude oil, NQ, gold, silver, the Euro, and bonds. Okay? Now, if you want to take a screenshot, here's the top half. Snap, snap. And there's the bottom half. Snap, snap. Okay. Now, there's two numbers for each market. So what do you do? Well, on your 30-minute chart, draw a line in the sand at 38.61. You'll see how I've done that when we go to the charts. You draw a line in the sand at 37.94. And most important, when this report is published, this doesn't come out around the clock. This is posted once per session, shortly after the Globex open, and the numbers are good for the entire session. On a typical day, once an alert triggers, there's a greater probability of it triggering multiple times than not triggering multiple times. So what you would do is at 7:20 p.m. last night, when this is posted in the CTA channel for our members, and also posted for those taking the 1 week free trial, you make note of where price is at this moment in time. And moving forward, if price starts trending up towards 38.61, that's bullish. So our strategy will look for opportunities to be long the market. If price starts trending down towards 37.94, that's bearish. And so our strategy will look for opportunities to be short the market. In either case, that's where you're going to use Logic 247. And of course, everything you learn in the live training room every single day to yourself, find opportunities to be long or short the market. On most days, those who have learned the methodology and the strategy and how to read our simple indicators, the opportunity to get your goal for the day before you hit the long or short trigger is almost always there. Okay? All right. So, go over a couple of headlines that are important. We opened the show. Sorry for those of you on YouTube that missed the opening of the show. But we prayed about all of the turmoil going on in the world today, all of the tragedies. It's nonstop. I think it's as bad as I've ever seen it. And I've been on the planet for a few moons now. A gunman with a high-powered rifle opened fire from a rooftop during a 4th of July parade in Highland Park, a suburb of Chicago, yesterday, killing at least 6 people and injuring more than 24 others. Our thoughts, our hearts, and our prayers are with those families and with the survivors. The Lake County Deputy Sheriff, Chris Covelli, urged people in the area to stay inside their homes immediately after the shooting, which police described as random. Not sure what that means, but it was random. Police detained a person of interest, 22-year-old Robert Cremo III, Cremo, after a brief manhunt, later identifying him as the suspected gunman. The attack sent parade goers scattering, leaving behind children's bikes, lawn chairs, baby carriages, many decorated with American flags. Russian President Vladimir Putin has declared victory for Russian armed forces in the Luhansk area of eastern Ukraine, a day after Ukrainian defenders withdrew from Lysychansk, the major city they had controlled in the province. President Biden celebrated the 4th of July with a White House cookout, where he called for Americans to set aside their divisions. His words, "The 4th of July is a sacred day in our country. It's a time to celebrate the goodness of our nation, the only nation on earth founded based on an idea that all people are created equal." That's actually a tweet from Biden. So he encouraged us to come together as one. And then he immediately says something to divide us. He acknowledged that the nation has taken a few steps backward, a reference to the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade, a fear of possible recession. Now that's the president talking about a fear of possible recession. Recent mass shootings, tensions over hearings on the January 6th Capitol insurrection, and other problems, but he added, make no mistake, our best days still lie ahead. We can only pray. Basketball star Brittany Griner appealed to President Biden in a letter delivered to him yesterday, asking him to not forget about me and the other American detainees being held in Russia. As I sit here in a Russian prison, I'm terrified I might be here forever. Griner, a two-time Olympic gold medalist, was arrested after Russian security agents accused her of carrying cannabis vape cartridges through a Moscow airport. Now, remember, she was on her way out, not in, but she could face 10 years in prison if convicted. Griner said marking the 4th of July, which her family usually does by honoring those who have fought for our freedom, is painful because freedom to me means something completely different this year. And this is unbelievable, but true. A federal judge in West Virginia sided with three major U.S. drug distributors on Monday, ruling they can't be held responsible for the addiction epidemic in Cable County. The drug companies, AmerisourceBergen, Cardinal Health, and McKesson, distributed 81 million hydrocodone and oxycodone pills to Cabell County over 8 years, ending in 2014. If you do the math, that's 94 pills per person annually. The county's lawyers argued that the distribution by the distributors was unreasonable and without regard for public health and safety during a growing opioid-fueled addiction crisis. Lawyers for the drug companies countered that they were only fulfilling orders from licensed pharmacies based on prescriptions written by doctors. U.S. District Judge David Faber agreed, saying the plaintiffs did not prove the companies violated public nuisance laws. Public nuisance? 100,000 Americans have died from opioid overdose in just the past year. Protests continued in Akron, Ohio on Monday night after the fatal shooting of Jaylen Walker, an unarmed black man, after he fled police who tried to pull him over for just a routine traffic stop. Akron Mayor Dan Horrigan declared a state of emergency Monday and issued a 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew after peaceful protests led to slight damage. Well, most of us will never forget that picture of all the burning buildings and cars in the background and the news reporter saying it's a mostly peaceful demonstration. Oregon also canceled the city's 4th of July fireworks. We cannot and will not tolerate the destruction of property or violence, Oregon said in his statement. Walker's family called for protests to remain peaceful after police released body camera footage showing Walker running from his car and being shot 60 times by officers. California is facing a fast-spreading new coronavirus wave driven by the two new ultra-contagious Omicron subvariants, BA4 and BA5. The outbreak has pushed two-thirds of the state's counties into the high COVID-19 community transmission level. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends universal masking in indoor public spaces when communities hit that level. And the California Department of Public Health has strongly advised retaining that practice since the state's mask mandate expired in February. Los Angeles County has not imposed new rules requiring face coverings, but health officials there warn that could soon be necessary, possibly later this month. LA County Public Health Director issued a statement that said, "We're really worried." The city of Orlando, Florida apologized for saying in a pre-Independence Day weekly newsletter that it doesn't blame those who don't want to celebrate our nation right now. The message added, "When there is so much division, hate, and unrest, why on earth would you want to have a party celebrating any of it?" They published that. A divisive message, not to be divisive. Unbelievable. The city said it sincerely regrets any negative impact from the statement. A spokeswoman for Florida's Republican governor, Ron DeSantis, tweeted, "This is what happens when you elect Democrats. They do not have the same view of America as we do." Orlando area state representative said the city didn't need to apologize. "It's not okay to be okay," she tweeted. And for those who flew this weekend to visit friends, family, airlines, the delays they were anticipating eased up across the United States on July 4th as weather improved. By Monday afternoon, only 183 flights had been canceled and 1,200 delayed, down from more than 300 cancellations and nearly 4,700 delays just a day earlier, according to flight tracking website FlightAware. More than 19,000 flights, or roughly one-fifth of daily departures, were delayed Thursday through Sunday. About 1,600 flights were canceled over the first 4 days of the Thursday to Monday holiday. Industry staffing shortages, partly due to pandemic area buyouts, added to the disruptions caused by the bad weather. And that's the news. Let's go to the charts. Were the news there? Probably won't put a smile on anybody's face unless you're a futures trader and you know how to short the market the way stock investors typically just buy the market. Although there are hedge funds and institutions that specialize in shorting the market. Our most recent important swing high, March 29th. Our most recent important swing low on the daily chart, June 17th. We had a classic head fake right here. Now, blue and climbing, once we closed back below the BBC, so when we closed above it, that set the stage for a rally up to the next area of resistance. But we put in this double top right here, closed below the daily BBC, and the daily step line, and we hit blue and climbing, which, as we know, can act as good support, and it did. We closed right at it on this day. We closed above it. Even though we had a red candle, we closed above it again, and then we reached up and touched the daily BBC. The pullback to the BBC holds more often than it doesn't. Doesn't matter what market, doesn't matter what time frame, doesn't matter if it's futures or stocks or forex or crypto, the pullback to the BBC holds more often than it doesn't on a 30-minute chart and anything larger. Okay, And the five-minute chart is a pretty good job too, okay? If you're trading a five-minute chart, of course, you're only looking for a small move to reach your goal for the day. Well, this is the Tuesday candle, July 5th, okay? We opened last night, we made a brief run up to tag that daily BBC, and then we headed lower, and this low lines up with this low and this low. The next major area for support would be the low of this candle right here, which is 39.63 and a quarter. If that's taken out, then price will come down most likely to challenge the low of June 17th, which was 36.39. So you've got a little line of support here. Once that's broken, there's a bit of an air pocket down to this potential support. And once that's broken, we got an air pocket down to this low. Now, if we get to this low, does that mean the market is going to magically reverse off of a big double bottom? No, but it could, or price could continue to fall until something major changes with the administration, with the economy, with the Fed raising rates. We're going to probably continue to see lower prices. There'll be brief rallies, you know, in an uptrend, there's always pullbacks, in a downtrend, there's always pullback. So we just have to be patient and trade what's in front of us. Here's the S&P, the vertical line. These are 30-minute charts we're looking at. This vertical line separates today, Tuesday, from yesterday, Monday. Markets closed yesterday, 12:30 Eastern. Actually, it was 1 o'clock Eastern. It's the 12:30 candle. And here's the opening candle last night. These are this week's weekly trading zones. We ran right up to the zone at 38.54/55. And then we crossed, we pulled back to the BBC. And this pullback didn't hold. We closed below the BBC and then we pulled up to it from below and that pullback held. And that took us right down to the next weekly trading zone at 38.01/38.02. We caught a little bounce off of that support. We bounced up to 38.14. That's a 12-point bounce. Again, the zone's 0102. Then we come down again. This time, we trade through the weekly trading zone, and the short CTA was 37.94. And the trade to target, as I mentioned earlier, is always the weekly trading zone below. So from 37.94 to 76, that would be 18 points at $50 a point. Now the market, after consolidating slightly, it continued to work its way down until it reached these previous lows, which we have to expect to be support until proven otherwise. We've now pulled back up to the zone. When we drop to a zone, we expect support. When we rally up to a zone, we expect resistance until proven otherwise. And so we've now pulled up to this zone. We almost touched the BBC. Now we're headed back down. Potential support at the step line. Potential support at red and falling because it's now gotten directly below price. And then a break of these lows would most likely take us down to the next weekly zone at 37.21/22. On the Dow, here's where we opened. We ran up, we never triggered on the long side. We dropped below the BBC, we pulled back up, pullback held, Then we dropped right to the target. Now the target is 3860 / 65. So from 860 to 980, that would be 120 points, $5 a point. You can do the math. We found support at the zone and we bounced, but not quite enough to get back above the trigger because there was so much selling pressure. And that took us down through this zone. We consolidated at the zone. Only three things happen at a zone. The most likely is consolidation. That's what you see about 70-75% of the time. And we have on the Dow two more weekly trading zones left below. Now, as you can see, price found support for the moment at the step line. So it's going to attempt to rally back up. If we fail here, the next area for support would be at red and falling. Okay. Moving on to the Russell. No trigger on the long side. Remember, this is Tuesday. This is Monday. Back over here is Friday. Okay. So all of the indices look pretty much the same. That's not untypical. In fact, that's kind of how it is. We got below the BBC, which just stands for bull bear cross. When we cross above it, we're bullish, anticipating higher prices. But when we close below it, we're bearish, anticipating lower prices. And that's the beautiful thing about trading futures, is you can be long, you can be short, you can be long again, all in the same hour, if that's what the chart in front of you is telling you to do. So we triggered at 1719. The zone is 1713/14, so that's 5 points at $50 a point, $250 per contract traded. Then we got back above the trigger, triggered again. It's unusual when we only have one or two triggers at a CTA, but today's been a pretty strong directional day. So we made the first run, we made the second run, and then we traded all the way down. See that previous swing low? Look at the horizontal line on the cursor. Support remains support until broken, just like resistance remains resistance until broken. And it's exactly, I mean, this is just a textbook picture right here. And so that support sent us back up to the BBC. The pullback holds more often than it doesn't. We reached up and touched the zone, the same zone that was support here. And here becomes resistance. We've now dropped below the BBC. Found resistance at the zone. We dropped below the BBC. We hit the step line, which became support for now, pushing us back up towards the BBC. If this support breaks, we've got a swing low there. Then we got a nice air pocket down to blue and climbing, which we expect to be support until proven otherwise. And if we get through blue and climbing, then of course we expect the weekly trading zone to be support. And after that, we've got this swing low and then this double bottom here. Now see, this stretches all the way back to Friday. Okay. Low there, low there, literally to the tick. On the NQ, here's where the market opened. We never triggered on the long side. We consolidated at the zone. We dropped. We pulled back up to the zone where we found resistance. On the way down, we found support until it was finally broken, and we pulled back up. And we have resistance times two because we've got red and falling right there, and the weekly trading zone. And so that brought us down to the CTA short trigger at 11,569. The first drop took us to, we'll call it 556. That'd be 13 points, $20 a point, $260 per contract traded. And then from 69 down to 41, that would be 28 points at $20 a point, almost $600 per contract traded. And then we got back above the trigger, but we also got above the BBC. And when price is above the BBC on the 30-minute chart, the alerts, our discretionary trading, we're only looking for long trades. When price is below the BBC, we're only looking for short trades. Okay, now this first pullback, even though it spiked it, you see how it came back down and then opened red here. Okay. Where the market finds support, basically at the step line, and it's taken us all the way back up to an area that we would expect to be good resistance until proven otherwise. Whenever there's a bearish cross or bullish cross, it leads to an extended move. The first time price revisits that area, in this case, it will almost always be good resistance. Bearish cross, resistance. Okay, that covers all of the indices. Let's go to crude oil. We did have a trigger on the long side from 111.10. We triggered and ran up to 111.45. That's $350 per contract traded. And then we came down to the trigger, got rejected. Pull back to the BBC and the weekly zone. That's resistance times two. It held. It sent us back down. And from the trigger, on this first move down, we made it down to 107.82. It's basically $800 per contract traded. But the move wasn't over. We had a pullback and then a continuation of the move, which took us all the way down to 107.45/50, which would be $1,100 per contract traded. And then the bottom just fell out of crude and continued to fall and continued to fall. And we're almost at the lowest weekly trading zone for the week on a Tuesday. When that happens, whenever we reach the lowest or highest weekly trading zone by Tuesday morning, and we're not quite there yet, but almost, that often turns into a major reversal that sends the market screaming in the opposite direction for the remainder of the week. So we'll see how that plays out this time around. Okay, gold. We opened here, got below the BBC. We dropped to the CTA trigger, basically got rejected, triggered again. And this time we dropped to 1796.3. We'll call it 1794. That's $700 per contract traded. Then we got back above the trigger, dropped again to 1798.5. 5 points, $500 per contract traded. And then we got back above the trigger here, and this drop took us all the way to the weekly trading zone, which is 1795/1796. So from 96 to 01, it's $500 per contract traded. Silver. Okay, we had two-sided action on silver. 20.05, 2 pennies is $100 when you're trading silver. That's per contract. 205, we ran up to, from 2005, we ran up to 2010. It's $250 per contract traded. And then we got back below the trigger, triggered again, made it up to 2009. So that's 4 pennies. 2 pennies is $100. So that's $200 per contract traded. We dropped to the zone. We consolidated for a number of hours. We remained below the BVC. See how this pullback here is wild card, reached up, pull back hill. After this consolidation, took us down to the short trigger. Right here, we dropped to 1964, $50. Then we get back above the trigger and we drop all the way to the published target, which would be 35 pennies, about $1,700 per contract traded. On the euro, no trigger on the long side. Trigger on the short side, and the initial trigger on the short side at 104.665 took us right to the target at 104.210. The zone is 104.205/210. Now, on the euro, from 665 to 565, that's $125 per contract traded. Then 465, then 365, then 265. Each one of those moves is worth $125 per contract traded. When we hit the zone, we caught a bounce, but the selling continued, took us to the next zone. We've now traded below that zone, and we have one last weekly trading zone left below for the euro. And our final chart for the day. Would be the bonds. Okay. And let me make sure. The long side was 140.16. Pull that down a tad. 140.16. And it took us right up. Well, we had an initial move up to 141.03. That's a nice move for bonds. And then we got back below the trigger, triggered again, ran all the way to the target at 141.09. Now, prior to that happening on the long side, this is where we opened, and the short trigger was 138.22, and we put in a low at 138.06. Again, that's a nice move for bonds. Here, not all triggers are created equal. As price gets above the trigger and triggers, that's a trade when you've got blue and climbing that close to the trigger. You should stay away from it. Now, there'll be times it'll just trade right through it. But most times, blue and climbing is gonna act as good support. Just red and falling acts as good resistance. And so this is a trade you don't wanna take. The obvious reasons I just stated. And look at the daily chart. Okay, we're off the high of the day, we're off the low of the day. Where we close today should be pretty important. And remember, the futures market doesn't close until 5 p.m. Eastern. That ends the Tuesday session this afternoon. Tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern, the markets will reopen, and that begins the Wednesday session. All right, our good word for the day. Recognizing your triggers. We all have triggers. For some of us, a beer commercial might make us want to go get a beer, or a chocolate commercial might make us want to go get chocolate, or the smell of cigarette smoke at the bus stop might make you want to smoke. People have all kinds of triggers. Some are very deep. Some are emotionally tied. Psalm 37:8 says, "Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm." A weapon can either protect or destroy. It all depends on who's using it. Anger works the same way. That's why it's wise to know what triggers set you off. Some of the most common triggers surface at these times. Number one, when your rights have been violated. Is it always bad to get mad? No. Sometimes the problem that infuriates you most is the one God has called you to help solve. You may have heard of righteous indignation. The world is a better place because of men and women who devoted their lives to fighting disease, poverty, corruption, and injustice. That's what Jesus did when he purged the temple of extortionists. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, "If you are angry, be sure that it is not out of wounded pride or bad temper." Don't give the devil that sort of foothold. Number two, when you're frustrated because things aren't going your way. A recent news report told of a man who went hunting on his mountain bike. When it broke down, he got mad and shot it to pieces. Well, that fixed everything, right? Robert Ingersoll observed, "Anger is a wind which blows out the lamp of the mind." That's a good one. You should write that down. Anger is a wind which blows out the lamp of the mind. And number three, when you're under constant stress. Paul writes in Romans 12:3, "Have a sane estimate of your capabilities. By cramming too much activity into too little time, you set yourself up for stress. Like a violin string that's pulled tighter and tighter and tighter, well, you know what happens. Twang, it snaps. Then you feel guilty and think you're not spiritual enough. Anticipate challenges and allow time for the unexpected. Bottom line, don't lose your temper. It only leads to harm." And that's our good word for the day. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.